Yeah. No, I'm on the air. Hi. How you doing? This is Wesley Snipes, and I'm sitting here with my Pleiadian and Andromedan and friends. And, you know, we were just kicking it, talking about a little extraterrestrial kind of a thing. We're having a little party together. Everybody's coming through from the galaxy. But, of course, you got to get the right direction. So we got to have the right vibration. Right vibrations is listening to Dr. Fred Bell and the Health and Sciences show on BBSRadio.com. Okay, I'm ready. Go. Where's my ticket for the ship, man?
There is a truth, I thought to myself, while driving down Route 68. The car in front is a Renault. It's not behind, it's not a Ford. There is a truth, and how things happen. If it was yesterday, it wasn't 1894. And if tomorrow's gonna do come true, there'll be another truth in store. And those who think there is no truth, that all depends on point of view, will lock us up, fire the bomb made only for a gentleman to use. The president is just a choice. He should not incite or claim his fame. On November night, I heard the screaming horns. The new America had changed her name. We're not the same. You and I are not. You who called free thinkers enemies, you are clearly now the enemies. And we will do what we must do to keep it free, like I must write, and she must sing, and they must slave. You must have heard that we will never really rise again. The minds behind the plastic bugles gave the word, but they cannot just mow us down and say who are the arch-anemic ones. Ours are free and tender girls. Ours are mountain climbing sons. So you and I will disagree that truth exists, but misery. I cry for you, I cry for us, as I prepare to leave the bus. There is a truth for you and me. Our eyes upon and see. The sun is true, but for the blind. And we are free, but for our minds. There is a truth.
All right. You know what day it is. You know what time it is. And this is the Insight Hour, yes, and I, Red Rocks, give it up to the Creator. Oh, what a glorious day it was today. I could only pray that I hope there was rain where it was needed, sun where it was needed, cool weather where it was needed, warm weather where it was needed. I hope everybody today got what they deserve. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. And for those of you who may be saying, where is Dr. Horowitz? Well, he's on vacation, but I do believe that he is trying to make it to the phone. And I am sure that he is in some place where it is the most beauteous, I mean, bodaciously beautiful place. I'm just assuming that the vacation choice was Canada, and that is just over there. A lot of Insight listeners are from Canada. You're listening to the Insight Hour, and yes, there is a truth. You know, it's kind of funny. I was kicking it with Don Newsom of BBS Radio. Everybody knows Don. And I do, I think I got him excited about an idea. And it just came to me. I've been listening to this song that opened up. Don't ask me who did this song. It was just, I found it. If you know who did it, you can call in. If you did it, call in. I'll give you your dollar. You know, it's like one of those iTunes. You want to keep it. Right. I heard that Elton John thinks we should do away with the Internet because he don't like us. He wants us to go back to the record stores, you know. So everybody has a point of view, and insight is where we are able to see these point of views. Dr. Nen, are you there? No, I believe that somebody would tell me if he was there. He's all the way there. And this is the Inside Hour, and it's brought to you by the man who is bringing you the love, the real Da Vinci Code. Yes, 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 and those seminars are getting ready to start up, and I'm hoping that y'all are going to check into Dr. Len Hurwitz.com and check out the schedule. Scroll down and find that Love the Real Da Vinci Code information. Go there quick. Get signed up. Or do yourself a big favor and treat all of the people in your sphere of influence to an exciting time. We're looking for more bookings so that we can spread this mathematical matrix magic around the world and get people to retune their lives. We're talking fine-tuning for perfection. I know everybody out there listening to the Inside Hour already on their way, trailing all along there on that there even way. I know that you know what I'm talking about. When you have insight, you don't have doubt. There's no room for doubt when you have insight, when you are connected spiritually. The way you get to be tuned in so that you know that the frequency you're listening to is the correct frequency. Because you see them parasites inside our bodies and the parasites and all the other energies out there in the world, they got frequencies too. All the frequencies are, and everybody's grooving on a specific frequency. Viruses groove on a specific frequency. They don't like certain frequencies. We're talking frequencies here. Frequencies of governmental collapse, frequency of repeating in history, frequencies. It's a big word there. But what I was saying in the beginning of the show when we're talking about there is a truth, you know, I'm going to encourage everybody out there, I'd like for you to do your homework. And tonight I'd like for you all to write at least a 1,200-page essay. This is the boss. He's asking you to do this. And Reverend Roxy's asking you to do this, too, and Dr. Len would find it an interesting exercise, and that is, I want everybody to plagiarize the truth. I want you to find the truth, and I want you to plagiarize it, and I want you to write us and let us know, because I believe that this could be the best exercise in the world that we could do. I have my mind going. I'm like, yeah, plagiarize the truth. Find a truth and write it down and make it your own. Oh, my goodness. Hey, there's that familiar beep, which must mean that the vacationing Dr. Leonard Hurwitz is on the phone. Am I correct?
Reverend Roxy, I've heard your broadcast. It's wonderful. Talking about the frequencies and plagiarism of the truth. I love that.
You like that? Put your two cents in there, then.
I love that. That's a great concept. I think I totally subscribe to that.
Well, maybe it'll make it on one of your blogs there. Maybe we'll get some answers, huh?
Cute.
So I started the show off tonight with There Is a Truth. It was a nice song about there is a truth. So basically that's where we're at right now. So give me some truth.
You know, I'm looking at truth with a capital T, you know. It doesn't deserve, just like the love with a capital L, it doesn't deserve a small L. It's kind of like the Creator's name. It's part of the major master resonance of the universe. The truth is, it's the law with a capital L. It's the mathematical musical matrix of the way it's all put together. It's the frequency of divinity. It is the reality. So the truth is, and everything else that's added on is this figment of the imagination and the mind and mental midgetry as it evolves out of the mouths of those deceivers. And, you know, I did a show a couple hours ago on a different network. I was a guest on a different program and got into this whole concept of, gee whiz, the thesis that we could recreate ourselves and our planet to be a divine reflection versus a gross deception. Do you get that? A divine reflection versus a gross deception. That's the truth. You know, my thesis, it's not a capital T for thesis. There's a small t. My thesis is that we have the capacity in the revelations and this whole spiritual renaissance is moving forward to really begin to live the truth in a big, big way. You know, I'm here in Canada, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to technically avail ourselves to David Hutter. I'm up here. He's got a beautiful 21-acre farm that has grasped the same exact concept that we've grasped in Hawaii to produce organic farming and community, to embrace the truth with a capital T and do it arm in arm, hand in hand, loving heart, touching loving heart, to move together into life and future, in sanity, in health, in joy and in happiness. And that's the truth. That's his truth. He's unwilling to compromise, just like you're unwilling to compromise, just like I'm unwilling to compromise. And that Holy Spirit power, that flow, has touched you uniquely. It's touched me uniquely. We didn't know each other, and you had found that truth, and you had made that commitment, just like David Hutter here in Canada. Realized, came to that truth, and was not able to move into the deception, move along in this gross manipulation, literally embracing as an alternative this whole concept of community, of organic farming, of living off of the land, living in, engaged with nature, instead of apart, you know, departed from it. So, you know, in terms of the truth, gee whiz, you know, we learn so much that is not the truth. One of the discussions, we had a caller in the last show that I did who asked me, Dr. Horowitz, you know, it's very, very interesting what you're talking about. Do you have a plan? She says, I'm a school teacher. Do you have a plan for the children? Do you have a plan for the educational programming of the United States? You know, the concept, she said, of No Child Left Behind is something that she felt uncomfortable with, and likewise I do too. And so I relayed to her the concept of what I published in the American Journals of School Health twice, the self-care motivation model, which literally is a curriculum to inspire a recognition of the truth within each of us. The capacity, if you had the key elements to teach the truth. And the best way to teach the truth is to inspire in each individual the capacity to recognize the truth, to perceive it, to let it move in their hearts, to fulfill their divine calling and project them into fulfilling their unique destiny. In collaboration, not competition. In communion and not in dissonance with the land, with the aina, you know, the Hawaiian term for the earth, the aina. This whole concept, if the truth is a little different for you than it is for me, certainly the truth with a capital T is, I believe, really the same, although the different paths that we each take as unique individuals to discover the truth coming from within ourselves. And the most important process is to be true to the truth within yourself. And the calling, the unique gifting that you and I have within ourselves, to tune into that and to conceive of an educational curriculum for teaching our children to embrace that uniqueness within each of us that is the truth with a capital T. And I'm talking about the greatness, the superhuman capabilities, the truth with a capital T, that we are wise, that we're capable, worthy, and wonderful. And anything that somebody else wants to slap you and slap you down to consider yourself less than that superhuman is not the truth. That's the lie. And if the truth resonates so strongly and the vision of it is held so manifestly within each of us, in our hearts and then in our minds, and we teach that to the children, then guess what? We're going to live a completely different life. It's not going to be one running after the money, it's not going to be one running after the false pleasures, it's not going to be the cars and the radios and the televisions and the stereos, it's not going to be all of this extra added stuff that is a physical responsibility that creates simply a financial and a time burden in its management on each of us, when the truth is simply beingness, being in communion, being in love, being in collaboration, being in sustainability, being in ecological, honoring nature and honoring the Aina and honoring the Creator, giving all of this to us freely, forever giving. I mean, that to me is the truth with a capital T. And I think that we really hold the capability now, given the revelations, as a community, as a edified congregation, that's an enlightened group, to come together, herald and hail and celebrate the truth being told. And us as family, extended family, in community, moving forward powerfully, articulating this truth, living by it, having uplift us in our spirits as well as our bodies. And that, to me, is what this glorious time that we're currently engaging, the spiritual renaissance, what is the end times to some is the beginning times for those of us awake and aware of these great truths. What do you think, Reverend Roxy? Is that about right?
Oh, I'm telling you, that is so on, because that is so in tune with what every person who has opened every book of inspiration in their life. They know that there are critics of God out there, that there are people who are critical of the superior divinity that God has given to all of us and that we have inherited through his breath. And that is the key here for me, is that I was breathed into, that I possess the breath of life, which means I have inside of me that continuing existence of God. And I look around today, and I can't understand how people are not using this power that is at their fingertips, that they can turn their own finger on themselves and heal their own selves by forgiving themselves, by touching themselves in ways that they've never touched themselves before, and begin to generate the energies that are needed, and begin to look up and look out and look after and all of the other things. But that comes, and you know that word, dumbed down. Before anybody can do that, they have got to be enlightened. And I think that's the reason why the science and intellectual groups of people who are coming to colleges, and why you're going to be received with the Love Da Vinci Code. Hey, why don't we let people, because I need to know too, because I have people calling here, what's up with the Love seminars, and where are they going, and have anybody been signing up, and are there cities where it's coming to us soon?
Yes, and indeed. Thanks for mentioning that.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, the Love Code seminar, musical healing celebrations, are coming to a city near you. If you're listening out there, if you simply go on the internet to either drlenhorowitz.com, which is my official website, drlenhorowitz, drlenhorowitz.com, or you can go to Love the Real Da Vinci Code and get a link there to lovecodeseminar.com, lovetherealdavincicode.com, or lovecodeseminar.com. And there's a schedule there, a link to all the cities that we're going to be coming to. Right now in September, I know we're scheduled for Sacramento, and people have been registering for the first event in Sacramento in early September. I'm be in L.A., we're doing two events, to my knowledge, three events, I think, in L.A. Then I move up to San Francisco, Bay Area. I'll be doing a benefit for the Royal Raymond Rife and George's group with the Rife Tech Society up in San Francisco. Then we'll be moving westward. I understand that there's scheduling going on right now for Salt Lake City, for... I know you and I will be in Sedona for October for the Raw Festival. And all of this is on the schedule that is on those websites, drlenhorowitz.com. Click on the schedule, or in lovecodeseminar.com. And you can actually register right online as well as you can get a lot of information about what we're going to be covering. Awesome, awesome, life-changing, spiritually blessing, completely uplifting information. Divine revelations that are going to be used by us to purify, uplift, and sustain our Holy Spirit-filled temples and do what you're talking about. That is, lay hands on people, lay the musical mathematics of divinity on humanity to shift everything, open the hearts, spin those chakras, get a physical and spiritual tune-up. Tune up to those frequencies of divinity. That's what we've been blessed with, and that's what the seminar celebrations are about. Scott Huckabee will be blessing us with his music. He'll be doing concerts on Saturday nights in the Love Code Seminar every Saturday night in all those cities. We'll be doing a dance and a musical celebration, and believe it or not, after about 25 to 30 years after not playing guitar, I've tuned my guitar to the 417 hertz frequency, which is what A440 started with. Before the Roman Catholic Church changed the music on us and dumbed us down in the process, we were playing A417. So I've tuned my guitar to A417. I've actually started to develop calluses again, and I'm going to be, during some of Scotty's breaks, actually performing. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm getting some music, some original music included together, and we'll be celebrating. Live Love in 528 will be the concerts, and there is an album. For those of you who are not familiar with Scott Huckabee, you can read up about Scotty and his incredible career and how he began by divine direction in this whole musical celebration. And that's on perfectcircleofsound.com. If you go there, you can actually hear samples from Scott's 6 new albums, beginning with Luminosity and the Light Winds albums. And then he's got Beam Us Up, Scotty. He's got Live Love in 528 and Rain Dancer. Those are really excellent albums in which his solo guitar is tuned to. And you can't even imagine it's a solo guitar. When you hear Scotty Huckabee play, you can't imagine that there's not a full orchestra and a full band that you're hearing. You can't believe it's one person making all this music. But he's tuned his instruments, and basically the tuning of the instruments is critical for the tuning of the human Holy Spirit-filled temple. And so that's what we're doing. And I appreciate you asking. Also, folks can get a tremendous amount of support for health. I know health is in jeopardy all over as we have now strongly entered these end times where the great plagues have struck. People need a lot of support, and they can get a lot of support if they go to healthyworldstore.com, healthyworldstore.com. And as I mentioned last week, we're upgrading that website and our other websites to support people. If you're interested in the 5-step approach we recommend for purifying your Holy Spirit-filled temple and really gaining optimal health and recovery, do the 5-step Healing Celebrations book recommendations. And the book is summarized on healingcelebrations.com. I'll give you that again. Healingcelebrations.com has a beautiful summary of the 5 steps: detox, deacidification, boosting, normalizing natural immunity, oxygenation. And Reverend Roxy, when you talked about the breath of life, the Creator's having breathed the breath of life into us, and how that is the Holy Spirit-filled blessing and anointing for sustaining us, for uplifting us, and for healing us miraculously. Oxygen, element number 8, the Creator's number, is miraculous. The 8 is the double toroidal complex of the universe. The structure of the universe is reflected in the Creator's number 8. The 8th element is, by no accident, oxygen. And that oxygen combined in water with hydrogen, the hydroxyl group, is the alkalinization. It's the key to sustaining the integrity and the chemistry of your body temple. Without that chemistry being right, then you are susceptible to all sorts of problems, from cancers to colds. The free radicals take hold. your immune system suffers, and literally it is simply you're dehydrated and you're deoxygenated and you're dealkalinized, you're acidified. Your Holy Spirit-filled temple turns into a breeding ground for bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, as well as cancers and arthritic and inflammatory conditions if your body chemistry is off. That means that your oxygen is depleted, your cells don't have the God's element number 8, and it doesn't have in it the hydration, H2O, hydrogen and oxygen, and your body chemistry then is a burning hell instead of a Holy Spirit-filled temple. So that's the reality, and we're going to be celebrating that all across the country. We're going to be breaking the seminar components down in the morning. On Saturday morning, I'm going to be covering the Love Code. In the afternoon, I'll be covering the 5 steps and the Healing Celebrations work and the Divine Revelations we've been blessed with, completely spiritually uplifting. We're going to be making music. We're going to be playing with the tuning forks, with the perfect circle of sound, specifically the core creative frequencies of the universe. There are 9 of them in the decryption of the Vitruvian Man by Da Vinci. And that's the subject matter of my most recent book, Love, the Real Da Vinci Code, is you can understand that 4 arms, 4 legs, and a head figure, that's actually 2 figures. It's one woman standing behind the man. The man is stuck in the box of earthly limitation, and the woman is wise enough to step out of the box into the circle of sound, the perfect circle of sound, to embrace cosmic unity and divinity versus unbelievable, deceptive, earthly reality. And so we begin to understand that we are the music. The musical mathematics of divinity manifested in humanity to uplift us so that we can sing a new song, which is Revelation 14:1. The Revelation 14:1 talks about the gathering of the 144,000, 1 plus 4 plus 4. That's 9. That's completion. That's when the fat lady sings on this planet and the Creator gets the planet back, and the people who are still alive, who have their hearts open and their chakras spinning to that divine frequency resonance, we're uplifted. We're filled with the light. We're filled with the love. And you can't destroy that. You can't harm that. That's what's the power to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, because you're in love.
Complete liberty. That's it. Complete liberty, and it promotes spirit and hope. If you are free, you can promote spirit and hope. You are the very existence of spirit and hope, Dr. Len. And eloquence is definitely your goal here. And I can't imagine anybody that is seeing that list won't want to tune in, won't want to come and see in person what you and Scott can do for them as they begin to rearrange their DNA and expose themselves to these sounds and all the wonderful things that is happening. The only word that can be used for it is simplicity and sublimity. In other words, it is so sublime, folk, when you begin to start listening to this music and have it in your life while you're driving. You almost give yourself a reason to want to just go straight to heaven when you listen to this music, because it doesn't disturb you, you see. It's in resonance with you, and if you're in tune with it, you can't help but feel better. And feeling better is how you achieve good health. Wouldn't you say so, Dr. Lynn? Hello? Did Dr. Len leave me? Somebody let me know. Yeah, Dr. Len had to go. Reverend Roxy didn't know that Dr. Len had to go, but I can carry the ball. I certainly can, because you see, he left me with a great conception. That's a birth, you see. And I can take it and I can run with it, because God said, what did God say? Let there be light, and there was, and let there be earth, and there was, and let there be pause for thought. Oh, yes. Well, since Dr. Len is gone, and with that, I can only say, don't you hear it, folks? Those of you who know him, can't you see that this man is a great prophet? and he has passion for what he's saying. See, this man 16 years ago said, everybody, let me tell you about the contaminators of all time. You see, I listened to a lady just recently. Her name is Dr. Sneed. I can tell you this, that she made it quite clear to me what has happened to us, what the big uh-oh was. You see, back when they was vaccinating all of us, and that's where Dr. Len comes in, because that's where it starts, right there with those darn vaccines. These ungodly, unclean, couldn't possibly. Because we're dealing with DNA. We're dealing now with RNA. Our children now have been inoculated with foreign proteins that are going to lay in wait, waiting for the right promoters to come and give them the message of threat, you see. I sing it in my song, whether it be war against Iraq or whether it be war against ourselves or the war that is being waged against us. To prepare for war can only mean attack, for the one we prepare against must naturally fight back. Then you say, you were right. Kill the people in their home, seeking out the sly one who's sitting on the throne. Well, here, this was the one, the sly one, who said, okay, the war is over, but we are going to continue. We may have lost the battle. The war is over, but our doubt about America will persist, and we will take it back. Now, someone's doing this. There's not too many people out there that are promoting liberty. Not too many people out here that are telling you, think for yourselves. You just need to stand still. And you need to know that nothing you are doing comes from anything that is original. It is all played over and over and over again. But basically, it says, what you gonna do about it? Well, now, when I was thinking about what I was gonna do tonight, because that was nice that Dr. Len was able to come, and I'm sure we're gonna hear from him. He's only away for a short period of time, and then he's getting back, and I really hope that he enjoys his vacation there and is safe, and it sounds like he is. Sounds like he's on a delicious piece of property and working out with some really beautiful people, and I hope that he'll put a blog up so everybody go to his website. You know, this is the Inside Hour. Let's take a pause for a moment to let you know that for those of you who may have tuned in or just sliding by right now, you're listening to bbsradio.com. And I know you could do that because you can look up your own search engine and see that. It's so funny when we say these things. But this is what you know is true about the whole thing. Is that what's happening with these archives are like popcorn, man. People want them, and we're able to then take them and put our stuff out there. That's why BBS Radio is so important, folks. You know, when you really get the big picture, this is coming down to the wire where in the beginning they talked about the one President Bush was saying, we have to have limits on freedom. I'm like, well, if you have limits on freedom, it really isn't freedom, is it? But this is the way this oxymoron works, you know what I'm saying? And greatness itself or smallness is revealed in the message of the person who's putting it out. And we know how small and infinitely small this message is. There is no great thought. There are no strong emotions other than hate. And there are certain figures of speech that we just can't even begin to understand. And there is no dignity in the word arrangement. I'm right from the beginning. I'm going to tell all of you Republicans out there, y'all need to just repent. If you do go to church, get some insight and understand that you cannot wage war and peace at the same time, that you cannot serve God and serve this ungodly man. Now, I know that a lot of people say, well what does it serve to point this out to us? We know this. Well, it's important because knowing and then taking a stand and putting your money where your mouth is and trying to wake the people up and be the Paul Revere and put it down. Because I'll tell you what, I've been doing it since 1972. Oh, yeah. Watergate means a lot to me. It means a lot to me because I knew already with all the COINTEL and all the machinations in the black community and all that was happening to the hippie community that somebody was playing a card, and I wanted to know who was sitting at that table playing that card, you see. So what's the wind up here? Well, we have some time left because it's just we getting into the show, and I'm getting ready to let you all know something. I'm going to take you back to a conference, and I want you to listen to a woman, and I want you to listen good. And when you get the archive, I want you to download every name, and I want you to listen with your life, folks. I'm giving this time up to my hero, and I'm going to let you listen to the woman who pretty much gave me no choice but to then go to God, you see. Because if I did not embrace my higher self, I probably would have been involved in some type of conspiracy to do whatever I can do to make it known to every law college on this planet. I want to hear from you. I don't have time. So if y'all out there want to understand how we can stop all that's going on, all you have to do, how many law colleges are there in the world, let alone how many are there in the United States? If you want to work on something, here's what you do. You write the colleges today, the law colleges, all of them, the law colleges, and you ask them about the Supreme Court, and you ask them about the justice that's being dispensed today. You ask them about the major case. Do your homework. So, to help you do your homework, I'm going to give you a little help. And this is probably going to take us out. I don't need to come back. I can only tell you that I'm Reverend Roxy. I'm sitting in for Dr. Vacationing Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and you are listening to the Insight Hour, and I'm getting ready to play a excerpt from a Boston conference featuring Mae Brussel, the Queen of Conspiracies. Now, this took place in 77, so what we need to understand now is that, see if you can hear the truth in Mae Brussel's speech. And for those of you know that I, Reverend Roxy, on Sundays is Boss RJ, and I have my show, the Mission Possible Radio Show. I hope that you'll check into that. Same time, same bat channel, BBS Radio, 12 midnight on the East Coast. What do you say, 9 o'clock Pacific time and 6 o'clock Big Island time. So I want you to listen in, and this is the Inside Hour brought to you by BBS Radio and the Tetrahedron Organization and all the rest of them. So check out DrLenHorowitz.com. I hope that you enjoyed me taking it in. I'm going to take you to this conference. It's 15 minutes. It should be enough for you to hear it. I'm going to play it in its entirety. Listen with your lives and then download it and do your homework, America, Canada, the world.
Next up, I believe, will be Mae Brussel. Mae is one of the better-known researchers into domestic clandestine activities, and she published in The Realist, and she's now working on a book. Mae Brussel.
Thank you. The name of my 5 or 6 minutes, maybe 8, is called J'accuse. It took Emil Zola that long. I call J'accuse because you want to know who did it. And you won't know these names. I'll rattle them off fast. But in Washington, let them ask me to come there or let them investigate these names and prove me wrong. You want to know who did it? Let's rattle them off. I'll give you a few. Now, in the Watergate, who did it? 5 men at the Democratic headquarters? Hunt and Liddy in the hall? Or Baldwin across the street? Or was it our Defense Intelligence Agency? Some did it, some covered it up, some received the messages, some funded it in Mexico. So I'm not going to give you 500 names. I'll give you about 30 or 40 tonight to chew on. Number one, as far as the funding, has been alleged that Mr. Bloomfield in Montreal, the head of Permandex Corporation, funded this assassination series of the two Kennedys and King. They can check Mr. Bloomfield out. Captain Fritz of Homicide in Dallas, Texas, had 10 agents that day that were home or at a restaurant for lunch who, after Kennedy was killed, turned off their TV and picked up the gun behind the boxes or met Mrs. Markham, or they picked up boxes in Marina Oswald's garage and put in the trunk of their car and brought it back the next day with planted evidence. These 10 men, and they went to Lee Harvey Oswald's rooming house, and they got some more evidence, planted evidence there. So those 10 men under Captain Fritz were directly involved. Alan Dulles of the Central Intelligence Agency was directly involved. He had 30 agents or more in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that he used, and along with his employee, E. Howard Hunt, working hand-in-hand ever since the early days, and also Richard Helms from the days of Adolf Hitler, working with Alan Dulles. They were directly involved in the Kennedy assassination. Who supplied the motive? Those 30 people I mentioned in my session today in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who were agents of Alan Dulles, I'll give you their names. George Bowie was the contact man of the Central Intelligence Agency, the head of the Greek Orthodox Church. Max Clark was directly responsible, the chief of security of Convair, who was the first person Lee Harvey Oswald called when he got back in Fort Worth. Lydia Dimitrik was directly involved and knew Lee Harvey Oswald at a hotel in the Soviet Union. And George and Jean de Morenschild were his babysitters from the CIA who planted the evidence in the story that Oswald even knew there was a rifle in that area. He never saw it. He never touched it. De Morenschild planted that story. Declan Ford and Kathy Ford were responsible for much of the cover story. And then Everett Glover and Peter Gregory, Elena Hall, John Hall, Mrs. Harris, Alex Kleiner, Ilya Mamontov, Anna Meller. She was at Marina Oswald, had her name in the Soviet Union before she arrived in Dallas. Michael and Ruth Payne were directly involved in the conspiracy. Michael's dead now, Jacques Hughes. Ruth Payne, agent number one or two. Paul Rogatorovsky, Ray Frank, Ray Thomas, Natalie Ray, Igor Voshinin, Mrs. Voshinin were all involved in framing Oswald. I spent 8 years with every motive the Warren Report said he had. He couldn't earn a job. He didn't like his wife. He beat his wife. He was meaningless. He wanted a place in history. I took every one of these people and traced the origin of where they came from, and none of what they said was true about Lee Harvey Oswald. Jack Hughes, Frank Sturgis as part of E. Howard Hunt's cover-up. Warren Carroll of the CIA, who was in charge of Jack Ruby up to the time that Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald. Let Warren Carroll come forward, and let's see where he is today. William Sullivan of Division 5 of FBI was the contact man with J. Edgar Hoover for these assassinations, and he reappears at the Watergate, to the Watergate hearings. And when the hearings got hot, Sullivan went to a hospital with a heart attack. He's coming out now as a flaming liberal that we have to watch the FBI or we'll have a police state. Let him step forward and answer questions under oath about the Kennedy assassination. And Marina Oswald, agent of Lee Harvey, she was his mate, like Dorothy Hunt. She wasn't his wife. I talked about that this morning. No one attended the ceremony. The proposal came in a hospital after they'd met three public times. This assassination team has names. They are not an amorphous group. After 8 years of work, I did a diagram, which I can read you names so that you know they can be identified. They're walking the streets. They're not something we don't know about. Frank Capel of Army Intelligence, he knew that Robert Kennedy was sleeping with Marilyn Monroe. So when his brother was killed, he could say, "You are cut off. You can't do anything." And Marilyn was killed shortly after John Kennedy's death. And Frank Capel, through their dirty blackmail of J. Edgar Hoover, had Bobby Kennedy by the balls. So our attorney general saved his own face instead of serving his country. And he never spoke up because both John and Bobby were sleeping all over the country. I have a friend, a movie producer, whose home they used, John used. The Secret Service circled, they called down, he vacated, the house had an electric gate, he's a screenwriter, and he checked up, and J. Edgar Hoover knew all of that and arranged it. And with Bobby, the same story. So people say, why don't the Kennedys do anything? He couldn't revive his dead brother, and they had the goods on both of them. And their extramarital relationship and the disgrace to them came before his acting as our attorney general. And he was tied, and Frank Capel wrote a book on the strange death of Marilyn Monroe. I have it, and that's what he had on Bobby, on Bobby's relationship and all the intricacies of the Marilyn Monroe death. There's a new book out. There's two books out. It's all true. Every bit of it is true. And they had the Kennedys by that. They had Bobby Kennedy as attorney general. Frank Capel is at the top of my list because he held the attorney general into silence, and therefore he was important. And under him was J. Edgar Hoover, who controlled Bobby Kennedy. Then Bobby, the attorney general, should control Hoover, but it was the other way around. And under this diagram is Richard Helms and Alan Dulles of the CIA. And then Marina Oswald was meeting with specific agents. They have names, George de Morenfield, the Paynes, the Mamatoff, and the Gravitas. And she was meeting separately, framing the man that she had as a mate who gave her the citizenship in this country, who came over with her. He was, Oswald, as an agent of the FBI, doing his work on assignment, need-to-know basis, met with Mr. Gregory Clark, Louis Miller, de Morenfield, and Payne. As I say, I'm reading these names off, but I'm giving you the summation of 11 years of research. They have faces, they have IDs, they have jobs, and they can be called in at any time we want them, because they were all involved. And these, Marina Oswald met separately with the oil operators, the oil engineers, through the Mamatoffs and Gravitas, to the most anti-Semitic, the most racist, neo-Nazi team named Voldemar Schmitz and Betty McDonald and Mr. Fredrickson and Glover. And then they met with Jack Crichton of military intelligence and the motorcade and Mr. Holmes, the postmaster, and Lawson of Secret Service, who had the last say. He stepped out of the room while the motorcade was decided. And Marina was working with the military oil operatives, and they protected her afterwards, and she's been cushioned in their lap ever since. And on a need-to-know basis, away from Marina Oswald with these people and the oil operators and the motorcade, there was the extreme right-wing General Walker and Mr. Hunt down there, and Lifeline. Mr. Warren Carroll wrote Lifeline. And there was a team called CUSA that came from to Dallas from Munich, Germany. American men in military intelligence from Munich, Germany. And the first one who came there went from New Orleans into Dallas-Fort Worth area and formed the Young Americans for Freedom, which that year was founded by William Buckley and Douglas Caddy, who's known in the Watergate, who worked for Mullen Associates. And they took Kennedy's flame, his flag, the signal of his new regime when he lit that flame when he was inaugurated, and said, let this flame go forward. And Young American Freedom took that flame on their stationery, and they moved into the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Larry Schmidt, Bernard Weissman, Larry Jones, Bill Burley, Robert Schmidt, and Mr. McDonald, not one of them was called as a witness before the Warren Commission. And then Mr. Grinnan and Mr. Hunt and Birchwell and Surrey were involved with General Walker. And then the black money, the killing money, came from the Republic National Bank. Check that out. Connie Trammell was the agent. She was in Mr. Hunt's offices, the oil man, Wednesday before the assassination, as was Jack Ruby. And Ruby owed $40,000 to the Internal Revenue before the assassination. When he died, he didn't leave any debt. And Bernard Weissman and Burley, and this was all, these groups all were tied to the Republic National Bank, the black money, the killing money. And into Houston, where the money for the Watergate came, the Mexican money that was washed and came up through Houston to the Republic National Bank, Connie Trammell and Jack Ruby, and Frank McGee and the National Indignation Committee, and a Clyde Moore and a Ken Thompson and Dale Davenport of the YAF. I have a list of people from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I drew two diagrams, the chain of command of the extreme right-wing military oil people to the motorcade, and another one on the espionage relationship of Lee and Marina Oswald. So when you want to know who did it, they are not amorphous. They are not people. I'm not going to get up and give a speech and say, well, we know it was, we've heard a lot tonight about the FBI and the CIA. These are their names. They have names. I have cross-filed them 11 years. And one more thing. I'll just run down a few things about E. Howard Hunt, and then I'll quit, because I wrote about him in that first published article I did from Dallas to Watergate, and I'll give you a few points. E. Howard Hunt was chief of covert action, you've heard, he admits, from 62 to 66 for Domestic Operations Division. E. Howard Hunt, at the same time, was acting station chief in Mexico City for 2 months. He had two jobs in Mexico and domestic in August and September when Albert Osborne, alias John Howard Bowen, was sitting on the bus with Lee Harvey Oswald in Mexico, and Osborne was with Hunt in Mexico, and David Ferry and Shaw, and all the majors that ended up in Dallas in the conspiracy. 2 months later was Lee Howard Hunt down in Mexico. He took his domestic work to Mexico for 2 months out of all those years. Now, isn't that strange when all those people were in Mexico? Now, in 1962 to 63, E. Howard Hunt was writing a book for Alan Dulles, the chief of our entire intelligence agency to form the CIA. And then Alan Dulles was on the Warren Commission. He was removed from the CIA because Kennedy said there's a hidden government behind my back, and he was put back on the Warren Commission. Now, when the Warren Commission met, and I have the minutes of their meeting, Alan Dulles came to the commission, and he said, "Gentlemen, I have a book here on a history of assassins, their personalities, their profiles, and there seems to be a pattern running through here. Oswald meets these other assassins, their traits, personalities, what we know as a psychological profile." Well, I wrote about 1966 to John J. McCloy, and I said, "I'd like a copy of that book on assassins that you got at your first meeting." And he wrote back, "We never got a book." And I wrote to Senator Cooper, and I said, "At the first meeting of the Warren Commission, Alan Dulles brought you a book. I'm studying assassins. I'd like it." He said, "We never received that book." Now, I had the minutes of their meeting. I wrote to all of them, and I didn't get an answer from Gerald Ford. He didn't answer me, and Lee J. Rankin didn't answer me, and the archivist, Mr. Angel, wrote back that there never was such a book, but I had the minutes of the meeting. So if E. Howard Hunt was writing for Alan Dulles in 62... couldn't he have written that book? I knew then it was a fake book. And I think E. Howard Hunt wrote that book, and I want them to account for that if he was writing for Alan Dulles. Then E. Howard Hunt admitted last week that he was writing in domestic work. He was working for a publisher called Prager Publishing Company in New York. And they have a branch in Washington, and they said, "We did 15 or 16 books for the CIA. Now, wouldn't it be funny if one of those books was the one that went to the Warren Commission? The CIA, wouldn't that be funny? See how this is all coming together now? Did they publish a book that nobody else saw except he gave to the Warren Commission? And they lost their memory within 3 years about that book? If E. Howard Hunt was the chief of covert action from 62 to 66, working with publishers, writing for Alan Dulles, and Dulles is bringing it to the meeting, and the book doesn't exist, let's find out what E. Howard Hunt was doing with that publisher. That's one example. And I have about 40 examples of E. Howard Hunt and his involvement from Dallas to Watergate, and I don't want to take time going through them now, but maybe later, Sunday, if any of you are interested, I'll show you the importance of that book publishing thing is significant, because I caught on in 66, and I have a whole series of these letters from them denying it, plus the minutes of the meeting. Now we find Hunt was writing a book. He wrote for Alan Dulles. He was in Dallas with the assassins. But when you say who did it, do you mean the four or five gunmen that got away? Do you mean who covered it up? We know these men are modest. Some don't go out on a limb like I do. Those of you that hear my radio show every week, I go way out on a limb. I name many people every week, 20 or 30 if I have 45 minutes to do it. You know I do. And I think it's time that we stop thinking that they can't be arrested and said under oath what they were doing. They can, and let's get to it and make them produce these people. Don't bother, because we are down for this serious night.
All right. I got 3 minutes because we started late, and I'm going to take you out with a little ditty that I wrote a long time ago. Don't get caught up. You're listening to BBS Radio, and this was the Inside Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Roxy, and Dr. Len will be back next week. Don't get caught up. could be your downfall.
I know donkey caught up, it could be your downfall. Develop wisdom, be company with all your sight. Show yourself, there's no need to hide. So mask your life with drugs and with drink. We need to now, it's your turn to think. Donkey caught up, I said donkey caught up. I know donkey caught up, it could be your downfall. Donkey caught up, I said donkey caught up. I know donkey caught up, it could be a downfall. Experience visions projected in your mind's eye. Clouds are clear, you'll see the sunlight. Lose the doubts in your life, become free. I realize love's possibilities. Donkey caught up, I said donkey caught up. I know donkey caught up, it could be a downfall. Donkey caught up, I said donkey caught up. I know donkey caught up, it could be a downfall. Donkey caught up in what your friends might say. Live your own life, do your own way. Donkey caught up in what your friends might do. Remember children, success will leave clues. Bum, 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 hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Bum, 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 do that. Bum, 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 bum,